Hi, I'm contractor Kevin Kennedy, and you're listening to Your Valuable Home on 920 The Voice, thanks to our wonderful sponsor, Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. Our show is about adding more value to your most valuable asset, your home. Each week, we'll feature home improvement replays and horror stories. We'll talk with all types of experts in our Home Improvement College segment and give you straight answers to all your questions about home improvements, including how to make sense out of a contractor's estimates and warranties. It all happens on Your Valuable Home, right here on 920 The Voice, every Saturday at 9 a.m., or check out the streaming version on 920thevoice.com. Both brought to you by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. We're back, and you're listening to Your Valuable Home with me, contractor Kevin Kennedy. And now it's time for the Home Improvement College, and we have our friend, the expert, back on to talk about some holiday tips and any hazards that could possibly arise. And we have the expert. Caroline, thanks again for coming on Your Valuable Home.
Hey, Kevin. Hi. Thank you for having me.
So, like I said before, I've been mentioning your name all over the place, and it puts people's mind at ease that they can find a source that is honest, and you actually tell exactly the way it is and the truth about a lot of stuff instead of the government saying, hey, look, I'm going to scare you. And the propaganda of you got to do something because it says it's got to be that way until I tell them to go to see you and or go on your website and put their mind at ease.
Well, it sounds good. We like to hear that. So if people have questions about their homes or ways to make their homes healthy, the best place to reach us is healthyhomeexpert.com. And we have all kinds of media information and question and answer and ask the expert columns and things that they can do to kind of get questions answered about their homes. That is free of charge. And, of course, if they have more in-depth information that they need, then they can consult with us to learn all kinds of great tips.
Oh, there we go. Well, especially with the holidays, it's going to make it a little bit easier. And I know there's a couple tips that we can kind of put out there for our listeners to really make it easy for them over this the holiday break.
You want to talk about some Christmas trees and things people should know? I think Christmas trees are always great for the holidays and kind of some do-it-yourself tips that can kind of help keep you healthier, you know, over the holiday season.
Perfect.
Okay. So if you're like me, I don't know if you do, but I get a live tree every year. And I like to go and cut them down. We actually went to a really great organic farm this year that doesn't do any spraying at all on their trees. It just grow them. They were $50, and it was really a wonderful experience. And so if you're doing that and you're going to be getting a live tree, you want to make sure that you want to get it closer to the holidays. So you don't want to leave your tree up for an extended period of time because, one, obviously it starts to deteriorate, and then you get mold. So about 2 weeks, I'd say, you know, that's the kind of the range I use that you want to have the tree up. You don't really want to go over 14 days. When a tree is measured after the first 3 days, the mold spores hover around 800, give or take spores, you know, on an average. But after 14 days, the mold spores will rocket up to 5,000 spores per cubic meter. So it's really important that people take their trees down. The sooner, you know, sooner the better. 2 weeks is about my recommendation.
Oh, so February 1st was a little bit too late for me then, huh?
Yeah. Are you putting up a real tree this year, or do you put up an artificial tree, or what do you do?
We went artificial about 5 years ago.
So,
it was, you know what, it was the convenience factor of pulling it out of the box, putting it together. We got the one with about 10,000 lights on it. You just plug them in, takes about 2 seconds. You can't go wrong with it. And it's good enough. It looks real, but I didn't have all those tree issues where the branches were breaking off and the needles were all over the place, and then try pulling it out after the holidays. It was just a mess.
So I have a tip for you. Do you dust off your tree periodically to make sure it does not get dusty?
No, we don't.
That might be a good recommendation. The artificial trees are great because you don't have to deal with the mold and also the pollen that comes in on a tree. A lot of people do experience, you know, having allergies to trees. It's very common. And especially now, this time of year, it's been warm. So people are complaining now that they've brought their trees in.
Now, you were saying about this organic farm that you were at. Did they just cut it down right while you were there?
Mm-hmm. We cut it, actually. It was great. We had the opportunity to just bring the saw and cut it right down and throw it in on top of the car, and I enjoyed it. It was the first year we had ever cut down a tree ourselves, and I liked the fact that it was a local person that had a local farm, and they basically were growing trees and, you know, not using any pesticide or chemicals, and I really liked that.
Now, what about for the people that are buying right off the rack that you have 500 trees that have been there for about 2 weeks already, saw the trees there. Is there any tips that you can give them to really understand exactly what they're going to be getting with those trees?
That's a perfect example. So those trees have been sitting for a lot longer, where, you know, our tree was obviously fresh and you don't have the issues with the mold. But when a tree starts to deteriorate, as I said, those trees are going to go quickly. So you don't want to have the tree up for an extended period of time if you're going to have a real tree. Also, you don't know where the tree's been. So, you know, outdoor trees can collect pollen, dust, allergens, petroleum products. Maybe it was shipped on a bed coming from Maine, so it's been exposed to a lot of different things on its path. So usually what I recommend is like spraying down the tree, or at least keep the tree out in a really good rainstorm, put it in a bucket, you know, cut it up, have it, you know, be ready to go, put it in a bucket outside, let some of the natural elements, just fresh air and rain, hit it a couple of times before you bring it in. So it's rinsing the tree off is really good, and it's going to help if anybody has allergens to whatever in the house, just to keep it, you know, so you're not bringing extra stuff in during the holidays that could irritate people or guests or family.
Now, how long do you think, with something like that, they should take it down pretty much within a couple of days after the Christmas break?
Yeah, I mean, I would say like New Year's, and then it's time to go. But people get distracted and they don't want to. But as far from a health perspective, you know, I like to say 2 weeks. So if you've got your tree up now, then you have to January 1st and then take it down.
Mm-hmm. What about some other tips that you could do, like wreaths or stuff like that, or anything problems with that?
Well, you just want to remember that during this time of year, when you start to bring all the pine is a volatile organic compound, just like anything. It's a chemical. It produces a chemical. That nice aromatic smell that you breathe in is great, but it also adds to a volatile organic compound load and chemicals in the home. So at this time of year, the volatiles usually go way up on people, you know, bringing in pine, candles, all of the things that can produce chemicals, or even natural things that can produce, you know, chemicals as well. So just because something's natural doesn't mean it doesn't produce a VOC. So you bring all this stuff in, and people will start to get lethargic. At this time of year, people get headaches. They get restless. Also, the more people you have in your home, your CO2 level goes up. So say on Christmas Day, you've got 25, 30 people in your home running around. The kids are opening presents. The parents have come over. Your CO2 level rises as we breathe in and out. So it's really important to crack a window, get proper ventilation when you have people in the house, because if you don't, that CO2 level will rise and people start to feel irritable. You'll have lethargy. You'll have people with headaches. All that stuff we kind of associate with holidays, right? Oh, I ate too much. I'm so tired. A lot of it is because air quality is really poor. So if you're going to have a lot of people over, crack some windows, you know, just have them slightly open so you're getting some ventilation. It's really helpful.
Well, that is a very good tip. I'm looking around. He's like, oh, that's not a bad idea.
Well, it's really important because you're not used to it. You know, especially when you get 30 people in a house, the CO2 level just goes up naturally because of the way we breathe, and houses aren't ventilated like a corporate building or a commercial building, so we don't have any fresh air coming in unless you have a ventilation system. So it's really important when you have those people, it really will help you just all to feel better, feel more lively, you're going to feel less tired, and it's just, you know, it's just a healthy thing you can do.
Yeah, the stress of the holidays really put a toll on people. They usually mm-hmm. start around December 1st as a contractor. It's really fun for a contract. Can you get my job done before Christmas or Hanukkah? Or it's just not happening.
I just finished my front porch, so I was on my contractor to get it done. I know exactly how you feel.
When I got to the studio, this is one, I don't know if I told Ron, but maybe it is the CO2 levels. I had a lady, we were working from 4 to 11, and that's a.m. to p.m. And she called me up and she said, listen, I need to get my powder room done. And you did the next door neighbors last year. Can you do it before the holidays? I'm like, serious? So she said, I said, listen, ma'am, I'm running a lot of jobs, which I never do. I run one at a time. And she said, can you do it? I said, well, I'm working from 4 to 11. Do you want the 11 to 4 shift? She's like, man, middle of the night? Okay, put it in. I want to get it done. I just started laughing. I'm like, I was just kidding. She's like, are you serious? You can't get it done? No, I can't. My body's not going to be able to work 24 hours a day. Oh, boy. So the holidays, yeah, could be maybe there is no oxygen in that house, because for somebody to call and say, hey, listen, can you get it in and work 24 hours a day? Oh, boy. Yeah, she must have had some couple nice Christmas trees sniffing.
Christmas
up, but, yeah.
Makes us stressed out. That's what it does. Stressed
Absolutely. Out. So what else can we do to make our lives better with the holidays around the house?
Well, you want to check. Also, candles are a big thing. Everybody starts to buy candles, and the fragrance candles are going to add to your chemical compounds. It's really easy to get inundated with chemicals during the holiday. Like if you go to the mall and you're shopping the mall and you come out and you're like, oh, I've got a headache from being at the mall, it's because everybody's using fragrance and people are just inundating themselves with not only synthetic fragrances, but also, you know, natural fragrance. So if you can use unscented candles during the holidays, that's going to help reduce your chemical load. You know, you can still have a color but not have a scent. There's a lot of great candles that are natural, that aren't synthetic, like a bayberry candle, something that doesn't have, it's a vegetable-based candle instead of being like a petroleum-based candle. And you can check online and order things. You know, when I buy a candle, I want to make sure it's vegetable-based. So when it burns, you're not relinquishing all of the other chemical compounds into the air that happen when you burn a candle. You get a lot of things as paraffin burns that are, you know, toxic, like toluene, benzenes, methyl ethyl ketones, things like that, naphthalene. They've done studies, and when you burn a synthetic candle, something that's petroleum-based, it's sort of equivalent to burning diesel fuel. So you're releasing that into your environment, which isn't healthy. So you can kind of reduce that a little bit by using more vegetable-based candles and things that aren't petroleum-based. But if you are going to use a petroleum-based candle, try to use something that isn't fragranced. They do have unscented candles. But also, if you must use a fragrance, try not to use, you know, five different fragrances at once. Try to keep it minimal so you're not oversaturating your home and everybody with chemicals.
Now, what would you recommend for, like, say, I go to my mother's house for Christmas Eve, and she burns all of her food, and it smells really bad in the house, and it's well overcooked food. How would I air the house out without doing some nice candles?
That's a good question. I think open the windows. You need to install a good ventilation fan for her, a cooking fan. You know how to do that. Yeah, she needs an overhead. She needs a big overhead fan.
But you're going to need about a 4,000 CFM to pull the air out, because everything she cooks, if she hears this, I hope she's not listening this week. I'm going to tell her, listen, the show's not on this week. But yeah, I'm sorry, Mom. But yeah, it's just something I think of when you're talking about the candles, because that's what she does. She burns a lot of candles to try to just mask the smell. She loves to cook everything on high. Like, hey, look, it's lobsters. Let's put them in at 700 degrees for 25 minutes until it burns.
Aww.
But it cooks quick. So we're teaching her. She told me, if you don't like the way it's cooked, come over early and you do it yourself.
That's it.
So thanks. I'm going to tackle it, and I'm going to try it on my own. But I learned a lot from my wife. She actually told me how to cook. She's good. So I'm going to try it. I'm going to try it. So we have to do as many candles, but I'll make sure that she's doing these unscented candles. That does sound, you know, a lot of these things that you're talking about, it really makes a lot of sense.
Well, they're common sense things too. They're, you know, sometimes we just don't think about it because we're so busy and we just pick up something and we don't have time to be cognizant of what it's going to do. We're all on a short time frame and we've all got stuff to do. So these are just some tips that can kind of help. And the other thing too, if you're using candles that, you know, sometimes people use candles year after year, they put them away just for Christmas and then they bring them out for Christmas. So you want to keep the wicks really short and trim, and that helps reduce the amount of soot. Because when you burn clean, it's like anything, whether you have your furnace serviced or, you know, you have someone comes in and does your hot water heater burner, you want to keep the burn clean. So you do the same thing with your candle to make sure that it does burn clean. Because a lot of that soot, and if we go into people's homes that burn a lot of candles, I mean, you can see it. I mean, it develops a black soot. You'll see it on the walls above where the candles burn. You'll see it in other places. So that just tells you how much these candles can put out into an environment that it actually leaves behind a residue.
Now, with all these healthy tips going on, see, this is what I'm thinking, because we're doing the second part of the show, is what I wanted to do, because I did sell my house, and we did have radon. And the homeowners were a little bit, because it was pretty high, the radon. I never opened my windows. My house is sealed pretty good. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I've ever opened the basement, any of the windows. And we did have a radon check, and it was pretty high. It's probably one of the highest in Bucks County. And we have to get it mitigated. So we're in the process of doing that. But I wanted to talk about, you know, what are the pros and cons of this mitigation, and how bad is radon? Or is it just one of those publicity things like, listen, just open your window and get some fresh air in every once in a while through all the months? Now, I'm not just saying through the holidays, through all 12 months.
Yeah, no, radon actually is a really, really, really serious thing. And believe it or not, people don't realize it, but it is the second leading cause of lung cancer in the U.S. So it's something that we definitely need to talk about, and people need to be cognizant of it. And the World Health Organization, I don't know, do you remember what your level was when they tested your home?
99.
So, and that was picocuries per liter, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So you're really supposed to be under 4. That was the national recommendation. But in 2009, I believe, the World Health Organization came out and they determined that the dangerous level of radon was actually considerably lower. They said it was 2.7 or lower. So it's really good, in my opinion, that, you know, you hire a mitigation expert to install a ventilation system to reduce it, even if you're at 2.7 or lower. Now, granted, when you go in and, you know, when you bought your house, did you do an immediate reading, or did you do a 5-day reading or a 90-day reading? What did you do?
Immediate. We did an immediate reading.
Okay. So what the issue with that is, not that it's not accurate, because it is at that given time, but I like to see a 90-day reading. They have different systems that you can purchase. If you go to a local hardware store, you can pick up what's called a short-term radon test, and that'll usually do a snapshot of 2 to 4 days. Or you can do a longer one that's a 90-day period. And most people don't do them, but I like it because it really gives you better cross average, because you're not going to be at that level all the time, especially with the winter, spring, summer, depending on how often you open your windows. It does vary, and how much ventilation you have going on at the current time. So, you know, in your case, you need it because you were just so extreme that you're going to have to, you have to use it. But with other people, if they really want to get a better cross average, then do the 90-day reading. And you just put the monitor in basically in your basement, and it just, you know, it's going to monitor it. And then it's an average of what you're really exposed to. But in your case, you are really, really high, so you have no choice but to use a ventilation system, and it's, you know, highly recommended that you do that.
Right, and that's what we're in the process where we have the two companies we narrowed it down to. And, yeah, whether it's 4.0 or 99, either way, it's once you mitigate, it's going to be taken care of. But it's, either way, it's going to have to be mitigated, and that's under contract. It's one of the things we have to do to sell the house.
Right. Well, and what you want to do, too, is a lot of people get these mitigation systems where they purchase a house, they move in, they never look at it, right? And they say, oh, okay, it's working. Come to find out, it's not working properly, or the fans, you know, went on the fritz and it stopped, you know, propelling the air, or it was a passive system. There's different systems. There's like an active system and a passive system. And when you change things in the home, so for example, say you add siding, or you add energy efficient windows, or you did construction where you disturbed the foundation, or any kind of ceiling around the door disappeared, your radon levels can change frequently. So people always think, oh, I put in a mitigation system, it must be working, and they never check their home. I think you should check every 3 to 5 years, especially if you know if you have a problem. I did mine, I think I did 2 years ago. I did the 3 to 5 day test. You know, there's two monitors. They simultaneously use them at the same time, and then they go back to the lab, and it tells you what you have. But you do really want to check all of your equipment, and because your radon levels will change, and sometimes when you think you have it mitigated, you don't. So it's just a perfect example to, you know, keep up on it and make sure those systems are working properly.
Yeah, the basement was the really high one. Everything else was back to normal levels. So it seemed a little different that why would I have such high levels in the basement, not anywhere else throughout the house?
No, that's normal. That's, you're always going to have it that when you test, you want to test on the lowest level of the house,
right?
Because that's where the most exposure is. So that's really normal. And that's another thing. Like if you're not in the basement all the time, you're probably not exposed to 99. You're exposed to, you know, 56 or 42 or whatever. So, no, that's really common, and you always do check for radon by going in the lowest level of the house because you want to get your worst-case scenario.
Well, yeah, that's what. So we're in the process of getting that done. But everything you said that when we first moved in, there was really no readings on it. So we're saying, hey, this is great. It's not a problem. But, yeah, disturbed the soil when I put the addition on, siding, windows. We did everything. I completely redid everything, and they never checked it since then because, you know, what's pretty good, the gases aren't coming up, and we should be fine. But
right.
Apparently we weren't.
Well, that's what happens. Exactly. I mean, it's the perfect example. That's exactly what happens. You put the siding on, and people who never had radon issues before, the house was breathing, it was more ventilated, boom, now they have a radon issue. And they don't usually know until they go to sell the house or someone comes and does an inspection. But people should really be checking every 3 to 5 years. And I can't reiterate it enough. Each year, just do one test in your home. Like 1 year, do water testing. The next year, do mold testing. The next year, do radon testing. Whatever it is, just one test a year, just put it in the back of your mind, like, I've got to just check my home out. And then, you know, you kind of get in this pattern of doing it. You're not spending all this money all at once either. You know, you're kind of going sporadically, doing one thing at a time. And then you know if your house is sort of on a good path, or and it can prevent you so much aggravation in the future. You know, you end up, if you have a moldy basement and you start to notice it, it's going to save you a big remediation project down the end. So just being vigilant about sort of checking these things can help save money. Because people are always talking about contractors. You and I have talked about this before, that people don't want to spend money. They don't want to do proper maintenance. Well, if you stay on top of things, you're going to end up costing yourself a lot less money in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the things that when the building inspector came out, said there was really no damage. The house was really built well. So I said, yeah, that's because I did the building. So he had no problems with anything we did. The only thing that did come up was the radon. And so it looks like I built a pretty tight house.
And that's because you made the house tight. You know, you put in energy efficiency, and that's what happened.
Woohoo! So now they know they're getting a good house. So we just got to get it mitigated, and I'm sure it'll be fine. But either way, whether it's 99, though, right, because they were a little worried that it's high. But once the mitigation system goes in, it's properly installed and working, whether it's 99 or 4, it's still going to remediate it, right?
Correct, yes.
Yeah, so there's nothing for them to really worry about. And that's what the realtor was trying to inform them, because they wanted to not back out. They love the house, but it was just that peace of mind that when the radon company said, listen, we can get it fixed. It's not a problem. So we're going to put it in. We're going to get it retested and make sure it's down to the proper levels, and everything should be fine. But the house itself was in impeccable condition.
No, and most radon is all over the country. I mean, you go 50 states, you're going to have radon. I don't think there's one state in the country that has never had radon. So it exists everywhere, and especially in certain regions where there's, you know, certain rock formation, we see more of it. It's a radioactive gas is what it is. It's an odorless, colorless gas that's radioactive. But there's a lot of things in the earth, uranium, and radon being the two, we find a lot of them together. The interesting thing people have to realize, too, with these radioactive gases, they're natural, right? They're occurring from the rock formation, so they're not something that's synthetic. It's just nature's way of throwing us some curveballs. Like, just because something's natural doesn't mean it's healthy for us. We always associate things that are unhealthy with synthetic things, but it's not the case. So, you know, just because something's natural doesn't mean it's healthy. But the question is, once we know it's there, there's a lot that we can do to fix it so that we're not, you know, that it doesn't cause us a health issue. But with radon, it can actually come up through your well if you have a pump. So say for well water, we do a test. When I test people's water supply and do water testing, there's a radon test, and we actually can tell if your radon level's high coming out of your well. So it follows. It doesn't come out of the water. It's not in the water, but it follows the pipes up. And that's one way it gets into your house, too. So, and you're allowed a percentage of that, because there's really nothing you can do to really stop that from happening. Even if you put an air mitigation system, that's going to take it out of the air. But it's a percentage of it still comes on when you turn the plumbing on. So if you're using a shower, you can breathe it in. So that's real important when people, you know, like in your case, you may want to do a water test just to see what percentage of it is coming out through the pipes and that you're breathing that in.
Yeah, well, we're definitely public or for both, water and sewer. So everything, well, I have sump pump pits, but you know what? I have no sump pumps in it because I have no water problems.
Okay.
The soil is there. It was very sandy when we dug for the addition. Very easy. So we didn't have any rock. There was no issue. That's why it was throwing me off that it was so high.
Yeah, I think in your case, you just probably made it very, I mean, if you did siding, you did windows, you probably just made it really, really tight, so you're not getting a lot of ventilation, and because of that, then your radon level went high. The other thing, too, is sometimes it can be a fluke, so, you know, you want to take multiple readings. It's not a bad idea to do a backup, but I'm sure they probably did when they came out, because sometimes, you know, they used probably a continuous monitor, right? Did they come with like a wand-looking thing, and then they took an air sample?
You know what? I was down in Myrtle Beach when that happened. So I do not know. All I know is they came down there and I saw the stickers on the window, and by the time I got back, it was done. So
was it a sensor? Like, it's called a CRM, a continuous radon monitor, where it's a device and it has a sensor to read the radon levels immediately. Like, if they do it immediately when they're there, that's what they use.
Yeah, I think it was in the unit. My wife said it was down there for a couple of days.
Oh, so then you actually did a short-term test.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did a canister test.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's all it was, but it came up a little bit high. So maybe I can do that test myself before I get the radon mix. But could you recommend me somebody that does this?
Local, I don't usually try to say names, but local hardware store, they have them. And you can send them away.
Okay.
They're like $35, you know, $35.
What about a company that does remediate for homes?
Oh,
do you know anybody?
Remediate? You're in Princeton area. The radiation data, did you talk to them?
No. My realtor is actually handling everything.
Yeah, I think it's radiation data. They're down in by you, Princeton area.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's good news for that.
Yeah.
So we're going to get to now the next segment. So we're going to take a little break here. Ron has wrote probably about 952 questions for you.
Ron and his questions. I feel pressure.
Well, you know, the thing is trying to read those questions. That's the funny part, because it looks like hieroglyphics to me. But so hang on tight. We're going to get right back to you with the Kevin's Q&As.
Thanks.
We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Your Valuable Home, sponsored by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets, with retail locations in Churchville, Southampton and Doylestown, in Bucks County, and Whitehall in the Lehigh Valley. Check out Tom Adams Windows, all one word, .com.
Thinking about replacing your windows and doors? Who can you trust with your hard-earned money? The big box stores? Manufacturers who sell direct with millions of dollars in advertising built into the pricing? Don't think so. Contractors who don't buy enough volume to pass on the savings or fail to keep up with new installation methods? When it's time to replace windows and doors, it's time to call Tom Adams Windows and Carpets, celebrating 60 years in business, satisfying customers with a lifetime product, labor, and glass warranty. Find out why Tom Adams has won more awards and recognition as the premier window and door dealer in Bucks and Montgomery counties. Great products, great installation, great warranty, and nobody but nobody beats our price, guaranteed. Check us out at TomAdamsWindowsAndCarpets.com and call us in Doylestown at 215-345-1111 or Churchville, PA at 215-357-7000.
We're back, and you're listening to Your Valuable Home with me, Contractor Kevin Kennedy. And now it's time for the Q&As, and like I said, Ron is chomping at the bit to start asking some questions, and I know, Ron, you want to start asking, so
I do. Well, I got questions about radon. I got questions about the holiday thing, too. You scared me a little bit with the radon because I've got I live in a 13-year-old townhouse, and when we moved in, the builder probably had the test done, and they said, I can't remember what the level was. And it was one of those things that they offered at the time. You could have it mitigated with this tube that goes up the wall and just put it off, and forgot about it. But that was probably a mistake, wasn't it?
Well, it really depends. I mean, it's not, I look at it this way. We know about radon, so to me, it's a less scary thing. Mm-hmm. It's an easy test to do. For $30, you can go to a local hardware store, pick up a test, and do it. And I'd probably do that before you're concerned about anything. And you can do the short-term test that Kevin did, which would be fine. And then see where your readings come up. This is a great time to do it because the house is closed up typically, so you're going to get a higher reading than you would if it was summer or spring. But a lot of houses, too, when you go to put a mitigation system in, depending how they're built, some have room for it. So on the back end, like my house was built one of my houses was built in 1962, so it's got it's a bi-level, so it really didn't have room for a mitigation system as well. Kevin knows that sometimes they have like a crawl space, but mm-hmm. the basement's finished, and you don't want to put this, big tube running through the middle of your living space. So, but there's different types of systems that they have, but I wouldn't panic about it. I would just do a short-term test and then see what your levels are.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think I'm going to bring it up with our board of directors because my community is governed by an HOA, and everybody, it's a hill. It was built on shale, and everybody probably had the problem. So we should probably revisit this as a community.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea, or at least to have them, have maybe a requirement, every 3 to 5 years that you do one of the tests. I mean, they're not expensive, so you're not talking about a $300-$400 test. You're talking about something that costs about $30, give or take.
Well, I'll tell you what. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to go out and buy myself a Christmas present.
Yeah,
it's going to be a radon test. I'm not even going to wrap it. I'm just going to use it. Okay, you scared me into it. The other question I have for you is, this time of year, people often report, and I have a lot of friends right now who they're sick. I often get sick around the holiday time. And I was listening to you talk about this can do it, that can do it. I mean, you got CO2 buildup. If you got a lot of people in the house and you don't have the windows open and you don't want to keep the tree in the house too long, you don't want scented candles. What is the aggregate effect of all of that? Can it really make people sick around this time of the year?
Well, part of the reason people get sick, too, is because you've got a lot of people in a space. And, like, for example, you go to the mall and you're exposed to the children are sick, the people are sick, everybody's touching the same things, you're picking up germs. So the biggest thing during this time of year is wash your hands. Make sure that you're constantly, you go out to the mall, you come in, the first thing you do, boom, wash your hands. And I am, like, a big advocate of that because that's just, there's just more people, more germs, et cetera. That's the first thing. The second thing is, when you close up these environments, you're getting more exposure to volatile organic compounds from all the different sprays and the pine trees and everything else we're bringing in. So your body's, you know, your immune system is exposed to that at a higher level. You're exposed to more people, like we said, the CO2, you know, the congestion, everybody's kind of in the space, so you're not getting really proper airflow. And yeah, it's basically going to reduce, you know, it's putting impact, it's putting stress on your immune system. So it doesn't surprise me that people, one, being exposed to more germs, and then two, having a suppressed immune system from just being exposed to a lot of different things, your immune system goes down, and then you catch a bug or a flu or a cold.
Yeah, and a lot of people I know are sick right now, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Well, and plus, you know, it's like I said, it to me, when you close up a space, you know, it's more that you've got more people and people are touching everything. They're touching the phones. You know, you pick up a phone next to somebody, somebody touches something at a store, their kids are sick, and then the germs just sort of proliferate. And so it's really important. Bacteria and viruses, you know, you wipe surfaces down. I like cleaning with vinegar, you know, that kind of helps. Spray some vinegar on your countertops and stuff if you have a lot of people in the house, just to keep germs down, and wash your hands is really important.
So vinegar will do that?
Yeah, it's great. It's an antibacterial agent. It's also an antifungal agent. I just keep a bottle of vinegar. It's really great if you work in an office. You know, you can spray your phone down if you share phones. You know, in a work environment, some people share phones. So.
Well, the other thing I'm doing, because I've got a big weekend coming up, so the other thing I'm doing to stay well is avoiding people. if I go into Starbucks and there's a long line, I turn around and walk out.
Well, it's really hard. I was thinking last night, I went to the mall, and it was funny. They had the pen, you know, where you have to check out to sign your credit card. And I said, I don't want to touch that. I said, I really don't want to get sick. And she was laughing at me. She's like, no, everybody's sick, and they touch those pens, you know, and then you just pick it up, touch it, you touch your face, and then, you know, that's it. You've got a cold. So
I have like 3 bottles of sanitizer on my person at all times.
I use it
all
3? The time. You mean 30?
Maybe 30.
They say, the best thing to do is wash your hands, and it's better than the sanitizer. And you do the rule. It's the... You count the alphabet, you wash your hands, A, B, C, D, and then count to A to Z. Yep. That really does help.
Trouble is, you can't, I mean, if you're, and everybody's signing this time of the year, and you pick up one of those pens, and somebody probably had the flu right before you, you can't do that all the time.
So you can't.
You have to use sanitizer.
Yeah, no, it's
I'm probably the biggest sanitizer buyer in Bucks County. I want to ask you about something else, too, and I don't think most people would ever even dream of this. When you started talking about the tree and the fresh-cut tree and the organic tree farm, you said it wasn't sprayed. I don't think most people would understand or be remotely aware that the trees that they're bringing in the house are sprayed with insecticides.
Yeah, no, you won't. And listen, not everybody does it, but some of the tree farms, you know, to prevent disease, because the trees, you know, when you grow something, some of the trees don't make it. Some of them, you know, need fertilizer. Some of them, you know, if they're growing this for fast production, they're going to be using these things. So to me, it's really important. I don't want that in my home. I don't want pesticide in my home. I don't want anything that could potentially be, you know, toxic. So that's why I went with a natural tree, a person who does natural tree growth. Now, when you see the trees, not all of them are the most beautiful things on the planet, and they grow at different levels and different rates and different sizes and shapes, but that's what makes them natural. When you start to see things that look very identical and very similar and all have the same shape and size, you start to think, well, something's sort of been, you know, tampered with.
Altered, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, this year I got myself last year I did the same thing, a 2-foot table top tree. So if I get sick, I'll get less sick. Right.
I have to say, we got the most beautiful organic tree. Well, I'm calling it an organic tree, but a natural tree. And it's unbelievable. The thing is really just gorgeous. I just like to look at it. And the color is so vibrant. And it looks so different. It really does. But it was very, very beautiful. They have a lot out where we are in Hunterdon County. There's a bunch of tree farms out here that are just really beautiful at this time of year. And it's fun. You know, you go and you have your hot chocolate, and they serve cookies, and you cut down your own tree. It's actually a really nice, fun thing to do with the kids, families, you know.
Would be more fun for me to watch somebody do it.
Yeah. The Griswolds' Christmas vacation is once that. No, it's going to be the same
thing. They do it for you. They'll cut it down for you. You can just stand there.
Hey, last question. You said about the vinegar being a bacterial killer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in my mind, am I thinking like at a balsamic vinegar? I mean, do I got to run a Tubby Olive and go get some vinegars? I mean, what kind of vinegar am I going to be looking at?
Just
you're
straight
use
vinegar.
The white? That's a great question, actually. Just the white distilled vinegar. Heinz makes it. You know, you just want the clear, not red or any other flavored apple cider. No. Just plain white vinegar. You put it, half fill a bottle. You know, I use a spray bottle, and then half with vinegar, half with water. You can go less or more depending on how much you like the vinegar smell, but I do 50-50. And then I just spray things and wipe down surfaces with it. It's really great, like if you're cooking raw chicken and you want to make sure you kill the bacteria, you can spray down your cutting boards, you can spray down your countertops, wherever, you know, I like using around the faucet, you know, so when you, if you're using, you know, raw meat or something, you're touching the faucet, keeps the bacteria down. And it doesn't, you know, it's nothing you have to worry about being toxic. You could obviously ingest it and nothing would ever happen, so.
Well, that's another great holiday tip, because every holidays are about food and everybody's got food all over the place, so
holiday tip,
buy some vinegar.
No chicken and sushi.
And people get sick a lot around the holidays, too, because, you know, that's exactly what happens. You're cooking so much stuff in the kitchen and you cross-contaminate something or you know, you leave something out too long. So, you know, when you do chicken or whatever you're going to do, turkey, whatever, roast beef, just, you know, clean your cutting board and clean your utensils that you use with some vinegar and water. It'll help keep you healthier. And in the bathrooms, too, I have a tip. Hydrogen peroxide is a really great cleaner. Like, if you have to, you can keep a bottle or spray bottle of hydrogen peroxide around your toilet. It'll freshen it up. You can just spray it, you know, the seat, the handles, everything. That'll keep people from getting sick, too, because that's a big thing. You know, someone touches the handle, someone else touches it.
Yep.
So hydrogen peroxide is great, and it just breaks down to, you know, oxygen and water. There's really no byproduct to it.
Well, we got to go, but once again, Caroline, you have proven that your knowledge of this whole field is encyclopedic, and it's been a great help to our listeners, and it will be for the holiday season now too.
So, well, Caroline, I'm wishing you guys both a very happy and healthy New Year,
and you too, and enjoy your tree.
You too.
So, Caroline,
happy holidays,
any more,
guys.
For any more healthy tips or anything that people can contact you, how will they be able to contact you directly?
The best way to reach us is healthyhomeexpert.com.
Perfect. Again, thank you for spending time with us here at Your Valuable Home, and we're going to be doing a couple more shows with you, and I'm definitely looking forward to that also.
We will do it. After the turn of the year, we'll do it.
So we want to thank all of our listeners for listening to Your Valuable Home this year on Season 3, and we want to wish everybody happy holidays and a Merry Christmas to all that are out there.
Yeah, it's hard to believe we've been on for, we're around 112 episodes now, and thanks to our listeners, we're going strong.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it. So everybody have a safe
and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas and a very, very happy New Year.